Before we pray, I would like to read from Psalms 146. Psalms 146. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, who keepeth truth forever, who executeth judgment for the oppressed, who giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. So far this precious word of God. If we take to heart and believe what we just read, then God stretches out his hand to us. We shall not put our trust in men. This we understood. But now we must understand that we can really, fully rely on our God. The one is good, but the other belongs to it. To know that people cannot help, to experience that people disappoint us, and that we will be ashamed of them. This is the one side. But the other, to know that God cannot disappoint, to know that we cannot be ashamed of Him, this must still be given to us. The first part, this I would like to repeat, this we all came to know out of a bitter experience on our own body, on our own soul and spirit. The first became a part of our life. We know on people we cannot rely on. But now the second shall become even a more firm part of our life as believers. On God we can rely on. On Him we will not be ashamed. We can come to Him day and night. He doesn't say once, you can rely on me, and then one is forsaken. No. Our God is a true God, a faithful God. He will be with us all the days until the end of the world. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, who keepeth truth forever. This is the encouragement which the Lord wants to give you and me today, who is faithful forever, who never changes his opinion, who can never make another decision than that which he made before the foundation of the world, namely, to redeem you and me, to make us children of God. Also this part, we don't want to forget, who executeth judgment for the oppressed, who giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. What a wonderful word. And the nice thing is that it's true, and that we can rely on it, and that we can count on the help of God. In this conviction of faith, we want to lay this gathering fully before the Lord, that he today comes to his right in our midst, in your and in my life, that he could make his word true, which we read, and also all the promises which he has given to us by his grace. Let us stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you together with all brothers and sisters who are present and with all who are joined with us and who remember in their prayers this service. Lord, receive us. Let us experience you in a visible, in an audible, in a feelable way. We have heard of thee, and by your word, faith came into our hearts. In this faith and trust, we come now to you. Just God, Creator of the heaven and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, look at us graciously today. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Forgive all transgressions. blot out all guilt, purify and sanctify us in your presence, and speak to us through your word and through your spirit. Lord, I thank you that today we can be gathered here to speak with you. And I ask you, speak also you with us. Speak as a father speaketh with his children, with whom he means well. And make us obedient children of God, to people whom you can bless and whom you can make a blessing for others. Take away everything disturbing. Take away everything what could be in your way, Lord, and prepare the way for yourself, for the honor and for the glory of your holy name. To you, O God, we say already now thanks that you have heard us and that you will bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today I don't have a special topic. Some things touch me. I have a tape here which refers to the circular letter where brothers in Stockholm on the 27th of July 83 proclaimed some things which are not scriptural. And on my way coming here from the airport, I asked myself the question, why must I even deal with these things which are not right before God? I would like it best to leave everything as it is. Whatever is being said, not touching on it. If it affects me personally, then yes, then everybody can say what he likes. Whoever wants to clean his shoes on me being his doormat, all right, then I'm available for it. But if it is about God's word, if it is about the truth, then it's different. Then it is different. The truth must remain truth and may no more be mixed with some kind of opinions, additions, views, traditions, let alone with teachings which truly are of demons, because they question the actual word of God. Yes, putting it out of force, to put one's own opinion upon the lampstand. Who of you could believe that somebody reads from the epistle to Timothy, namely the very well-known scripture, Timothy, I read it. Today we are amongst us. I preached so much, and today I will just talk a bit without preaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Mainly, it is to me about this one sentence. On this tape, the speaker asks the question, have you ever met a person who has forbidden to marry? And those present said no. All right. And the next point was, do you know why? Because this word has a spiritual meaning. And then he sets forth, Christ came down to this earth in 1963. Now the bride is married to the bridegroom, and everyone who prevents others from it forbids this marriage, that the bride souls should not be joined with the bridegroom. And if one thinks about, you will never hear that I mention names, for this would not be right before God. But if one thinks that men who traveled with Brother Branham, partly arranged his meetings, and then in so many points deviate so much, this is a deep, terrible pain. And if I today or somewhere or somewhen mention these things, then not that it would be fun for me, but from a deep agony of my soul, that to the pure word of God, to the divine message, to all the mysteries of God who were revealed, that one adds own interpretations to it, causing a huge chaos. And then there are people amongst them who listen to this and even say, Hallelujah. One doesn't have to be a believer for a long time. One doesn't need much of the Spirit of God. The least amount from God would be enough to know that God's word means what it says and says what it means. If to the people it is being said, the time of grace is over, the mercy seat has become judgment seat, then they say also, Amen to it. I would be scared to death if somebody would tell me the time of grace is over. Just imagine what this means for you or for me. If truly it would apply, the time of grace is over, we could run away weeping and crying, for then God would have left us behind and cast us out. People say Amen to things which should be condemned, which do not belong at all into the kingdom of God and into the proclamation. And when then a man who 1974 was still running around with the hippies on the street He emphasized loudly that the time of grace ended 1963, and he himself was 1974 still amongst the hippies, and says 1963, the time of grace has ended. Just imagine, then he's not part of it at all. Then God didn't call him at all. Then he has come too late. People lost their mind. They don't know anymore what they say. Right or not? And if the tapes are sent to me, then you can feel what goes on within me. It has never been worse on earth. And the great pain is therein that all these things do not happen in the denominations or in the circles that have rejected the message and the messenger, but penetrate and spread where people have heard and received the pure and holy Word of God. I know one thing, that all who are of the truth, they will hear God's Word until the end. They will not deviate to the right and not to the left. They will remain on the foundation of the Word of God until the last day of their life, until the rapture, until the Lord comes to take us home. But according to the Word of God, in the last days shall be teachings which are of demons, and there is no lack on lying preachers. What do you think what this means for me? I just have to emphasize it time and again. I would prefer one could open up a Word of God and speak about it, but just put yourself into my position. For years, people have been looked after, have read the sermons of Brother Branham, have tasted the precious Word of God and the powers of the world to come, as it is written in Hebrews 6. And then they turn away and walk where they should not walk and believe what is absolutely unbelievable. This is a deep pain. And I hope that God, in His unsearchable grace, intervenes once more and dispense justice, as in the Old Testament. There, the priests had the breastplate with the 12 stones, and justice was administered. When the light flashed, then the thing was right. And when the light did not flash from the breastplate, then you could forget the thing. Brother Branham preached about this in 1958, a wonderful sermon. And he said, in the New Testament, the doctrine of the apostles, the Word of God, is this breastplate. And if somebody preaches something and it does not flash, that God's Word does not reflect the light, then you can forget it. It must always be scriptural. Perhaps you read even the remark about the calculation of the year. They calculate the year 83, 84. There's nobody on earth who would have the right to make such a calculation. When the Holy Scripture says half an hour, then it is half an hour. And I've said it somewhere. If one has an experience with God, then one doesn't look on the watch, but reflecting when the experience is over and you come to your senses, then one estimates approximately the time, how long it could have lasted. And because right now this half an hour is in the conversation, I have to think on the 2nd of April 1962. I didn't look on the watch, but when I could think afterward, so it must have lasted around half an hour. But this doesn't help anyone, whether 1 hour or 100 hours, it doesn't matter. Nobody can present God a calculation and then expecting that he conforms to it. And most people commit a terrible mistake. They stop reading at the seventh seal at verse 1. And this is the biggest mistake which people can make. Even here in the Bible, there was made a little break or paragraph. They're not from God, but only of the people who translated. I read from Revelation chapter 8 from verse 1. And when the Lamb had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. I could read on. And everybody who wants to see the seventh seal, as God has given it here, must read on. One can impossibly stop at verse 1, because that, what then follows, is of course the result of that, what was announced in verse 1. And by the way, this silence is in heaven and not on earth. And the people have calculated the thing for the earth. They have said 1,000 years like a day, 1 day as 1,000 years. So we divide up the whole thing and then we come to 20 years and a bit. But the silence, I emphasize it, is in heaven and not on earth. Even if it were allowed, which it absolutely is not, but if it were allowed, then the calculation would not help us on earth when the thing happens in heaven. Thank you, Brother Verdi. One said amen. I believe we can all say amen to it. Is it so or not? And we sit here today as the most simple of the simple. And we understand it Because we were taught by God. Hallelujah. Because we were taught by God. All who were taught by God, they will always remain within the limits of the Word of God. They will never go beyond it. What really touches me is the fact that God has given us the pure seed of His Word, and that the enemy succeeded to again creep in and to spread his interpretations. You all know, Eve just gave her ear, and this was already wrong. In such cases, one may not listen at all, because every seed or every word is of course a seed, and there's always something left behind. And as then, with Eve, the serpent said, "You will be wise, and the eyes will be opened," and so forth. Today, it's about to fool the people that now things are coming to the light which were unknown back then. I don't belong to them who always use the name of Brother Branham, but I belong to them who believe with all their heart that every revelation of the Scripture, every mystery, every doctrine, every prophecy, by the ministry, by the prophetic ministry of Brother Branham, was revealed by God. Finish. For it is still written in Revelation 10, verse 7, "In the days in which the voice of the seventh angel sounds, the mystery of God is finished, as He declared it unto His servants, the prophets." Never would I dare to even add the slightest thing. For me, God's Word is just as holy as God. And if God tells me through His Word, in the days when the voice of the seventh angel sounds, then God said it to me through His Word very personally, or not. Many, many, and we also did it, they are always waiting for the speaking of the Lord. The speaking of God in these days is of course not that what an uncle and an aunt put themselves together. The speaking of God in this generation took place through the holy mouth of the prophet ordained and called by God. And this we have to hear, to receive, and to believe. It is still written in the Old Testament, but it's also the Word of God. 2 Chronicles 20:20. "Believe in the Lord your God, and believe His prophets, so shall ye be established, and so shall ye prosper." It is the plan of God that all these things happen according to His will. Who gives to whom a right to say, "The Lord has returned then and then"? In my Bible, it is written in connection with the return of the Lord, two will lie on one bed, two will grind at the mill, two will be on the field. Can you understand that people of a high reputation can be led into such an error that they forget what actually belongs to the return of the Lord. They make the Lord's return without that all the things found fulfillment, of which the Holy Scripture clearly testifies of. Oh, may God, me and you, all of us, and those who want to stand their ground before Him, may He at least keep the clear mind. For one must, in some cases, doubt this. For a person who reads the Word of God, he must, of course, admit that the things which are written in connection with the return of the Lord must find their fulfillment. By the way, there is not one scripture which would tell us that Jesus comes down on this earth. The Holy Scripture testifies that we are raptured and meet Him in the clouds. Our meeting with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the bridegroom of our soul, doesn't happen here in Zurich or in Krefeld or somewhere, but in the air, and then we enter with Him into glory. First, after the ministry of the two witnesses, He will, with all the saints, return, and then not to America, but to Jerusalem, and will put His feet upon the Mount of Olives, and then the Mount of Olives will split. When somebody comes to you, and you all know, years ago, I met 22 people in Jerusalem who all testified that they are the two witnesses. 22. What is it? If somebody would tell you, the Lord came down on the Mount of Olives, look at that thing. You can look or you don't look. Doesn't matter. But if it had not split, then you could forget everything straight away, or not. It must agree. And that's what's all about, precious brothers and sisters. I am so disappointed that so many, it's a relative term, but if one thinks on the souls, then one soul is more precious than the whole world. To me, all are on my heart, all who many years have heard the Word of God. And I ask you, not for my sake, but for the salvation of your soul's sake, for the Lord's sake, for His Word's sake, don't believe anything unless you find it in the Holy Scripture. And you take that, what Brother Branham has said, and place it into the Holy Scripture, for it fits very nicely into it. There was never a man among all the evangelists and reformers whose preaching, whose ministry, yes, all in all, would have fit so 100% into the Holy Scripture from Genesis up to Revelation 22 as the ministry of Brother Branham, whom we love with all our hearts. for whom we are grateful to God, that he in these days was used so mightily by the Lord. But the fight and the nonsense, both is still on earth. One sees the things and knows nevertheless that the Lord sometime, and I can wait, you can rely on it. I can wait. If God can wait until his hour comes, shall I hurry up? We will continue as until now, translating the sermons, persevering in the presence of God until the hour of God comes. And then it's no more words, but divine deeds, which we will see. What is very outstanding is that all who receive teachings which are not scriptural, their whole behavior changes. Their facial expression, and this is the truth, I have witnessed it in some cases, it has darkened. Every doctrine comes from somewhere. If it doesn't come from God, where does it come from then? There are only two sources of revelation. If it doesn't come from God, where does it then come from? Out from darkness, from the enemy. And if one looks at people and they are dark in their view, from one moment to the other, I have seen this with my natural eyes. The whole facial expression changes. It's a frown. All who are before God, who are taught by God, they may go through trials so that they don't know what to do anymore. But if one looks into their eyes, then they have a clear view. Then they don't look away from you left and right, but a nice, clear look. Now you may say, Brother Frank, you come from Palermo, where the sun shines and 30 degrees and so forth. But not only then, not only at sunshine, but in the midst of the night, we have the clarity of our God. And you know what Paul has written to the Corinthians? That Moses put a veil over his face. And he says, we as the ministers of the new covenant don't do it, but we reflect the glory of God. Our God has spoken, and his word is for all clear who have the clarity in their hearts. Everything depends on the heart. Here, in John 15, I've read a verse which had much to say to me. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Now listen. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Did you all read with me? Henceforth I call you not servants, but my friends. For I have made known unto you all things. Not just something. Not just have. But all things. If there was ever a time in which this scripture has found its authorization, its fulfillment, then it's the days in which we live. I don't know whether Martin Luther and all the others already Hebrews 13 verse 8 could have emphasized in such a way as it happened in this generation. This I don't know. Probably not. And many other scriptures were a riddle to them. Today, if the Lord could be visible in our midst, he would say, this scripture is fulfilled in this generation before your eyes, before your ears. All things I have revealed unto you, and I introduced you into the counsel of God, as in no time which ever existed. Is this not something wonderful? Does this not comfort you? Does it not tell you God loves us? We are no more servants and strangers, but friends of God. We are of his household. And I want to say, together with Paul, I'm jealous with divine jealousy for the church of Jesus Christ. If it would be indifferent to me, then you didn't would have to come again to hear a sermon. It cannot be indifferent to me. It's about the completion of the church of the living God. And we will experience this day. We will see what God has promised, that it will be fulfilled. Also this verse from John 13, verse 20. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When I, a few days ago, when I read this word for me alone, then in my heart the gratefulness began. And I said, Lord, when you called me at that time, you said, I will send you to other cities to preach my word. Here the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, this is the condition, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. Our Lord said, whoever heareth you heareth me. I am sure, not of myself as a man, but based upon the authority of the Word of God, that we are in the will of God, that we have heard the word of the Lord in purity, in clarity, and in truth, and that we will wait patiently until it pleases God to fulfill the last outstanding things. One thing is necessary, that we are transformed on our inside, renewed, prepared, that the day of the divine visitation does not surprise us, finding us unprepared, but that we on the inside are waiting for it, but in a prepared condition, waiting for it. Here, in Mark, in chapter 7, the Lord described a few things and emphasized them and points us to what still must become different. And I hope that we understand it. Our life is not changed because we hear much, but because we receive God's word as the seed of God into us. And the word will bring forth that what it promised. Whoever reads in Genesis, perhaps I should read you these two verses, namely Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. In the last part it says of the plants which have seed in it, yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Then, in verse 29, about the same is written, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, every herb-bearing seed. You all know the sermon, that everything brings forth after its own kind. Now it is about the divine kind. Christ is the seed of God, which was already promised in Genesis 3, verse 15. Then, in Revelation, not Revelation, in Isaiah 53, the most mighty word is written, which we can wish for this subject. Isaiah 53, let me read it to you. It's the chapter which speak of Gethsemane, of Calvary, of the suffering and dying of our Lord. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Christ, the seed of God. As we in the natural were in the first Adam, so we spiritually were in the second Adam in Christ. As certain as the word of the divine promise was announced and brought to Mary so that it could become flesh, so certain the word of the divine promise is now laid into the body of the church so that the bride can be born of it. Word of his word, spirit of his spirit, life from God. Many times we said it, Christ, our Redeemer, is the Son of God. We, as the redeemed, are sons and daughters of God. Here, it's about the transformation of our heart. Mark 7, from verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. When I read this today, I liked it so much. He called the people unto him. They gathered around him, and he said here, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand what I say unto you. The same takes place in this time. We didn't gather around a man, but we sit at the feet of the Lord. But now, we must listen carefully. Just imagine how lovely the Lord has spoken. He called everyone to him, as he wanted to say, Now, listen to me and try to understand what I say unto you. Not always with a thundering voice. He gathered them around him and spoke. And today it's the same. Listen to me and try to understand. You can read the following text yourself. How the Lord speaks of that what enters into a man does not defile him, but that what comes from the heart, this defiles the man. And if we take these things to heart, which are said here, and by the way, our Savior emphasizes it and says, If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he says unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. I looked this up, how it says in the original, just as we would say it in the vernacular. It's very nicely repeated here. It continues, and he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now we come to the point. God says, through the prophet in the Old Testament. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. How many of you looked once into the little booklet, The Mirror of the Heart? I can remember it well. I just became a believer, and then this booklet came into my hand. The Mirror of the Heart. Very well presented how the condition is of an unbeliever, and then the condition of a believer. What are we? What are you? What am I? It became great to me, and it stood out to me, that we all, in a certain way, come from a mixed society. I speak now in a religious way. We are a hybrid, but God has looked at us graciously, and now He made available to us the pure divine seed, so that this seed falls into our hearts, and by it, by the Spirit of God, can come forth new life in us. I personally wish a new divine life, a life as all those had it, in whom Christ could make all things new, of which has been said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. People who are loved by God, who are pardoned, who received forgiveness of their sin and guilt, people with whom God made a covenant, for whom He became surety. They have the privilege to receive His unfalsified word, and the word has the germ of life in it. Then it's no more you, then it's no more I, no more your, and no more my effort. How was it with Christ? The word was announced. The Spirit of God came down, and already something was born, namely Christ, according to the flesh. The same happens with us. And I have tried to set it forth. I don't know whether I succeeded. Not the spiritual rain, not the spiritual sun, but the seed is of greatest importance. The divine seed must be there before the latter rain falls. And God has taken care for it. The seed is here. Oh, how nice. How nicely Brother Branham said it. The sowing is accompanied by the former rain. But before the harvest comes the latter rain. And sometimes it's a bit difficult for me to translate the words which he used. Suddenly he says, nonsense. And then I, of course, have to look for a word to bring it a bit nicely. He said there, ye who you claim the latter rain has fallen already. Then comes the little word, this is nonsense. People have said a lot and claimed many things, but God sent his servant and prophet to give us the divine teaching in a balanced way, not to the right and not to the left. And I hope that I also have the balance at the harvest time. I just remember it now. If one brings in the harvest in the earlier times with a wagon, how careful one had to stack the sheaves so that it doesn't fall to the one or the other side. Woe unto me and woe to all the others who didn't pay attention. Our ways were at that time not so even as they are today. It went like this and up like this. And woe if the wagon was not even. Firstly, it started to waggle. Secondly, it slided. And thirdly, everything was lying down. And then something was going on. I witnessed all that. It's not new to me. May God give grace that everything happens in balance before the harvest, during the harvest, that everything is under the leading of the Holy Spirit, precisely done after the divine command, so that nothing overturns, but that everything is kept safely and is gathered into the heavenly garner. And if I then think about that the Lord, many years ago, he showed me this brand new combine. Some say the harvest is already in. I cannot say this. Just the contrary. I wait for it, that God gives a signal and that he is then with us as the Lord of the harvest, who gives the command and then also from above sending the reapers. For angels are ministering spirits sent for them who shall inherit salvation. When I read in the past days the temptation of our Lord, at the end it says, then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered unto him. Oh, dare I again say it to the Lord, Lord, do something similar with me. Let the day come where Satan must leave and send then your angels that they also minister to me. Sometimes I can speak with the Lord like this. You also. All of us, we can speak with our God, for he has become a personal God. In Christ, he is no more the unknown God of whom Paul has read in Athens on that hill on the altar, the inscription to an unknown God. He said, whom ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And then he came straight to the point. How wonderful! Get happy. Jesus is the victor. Nothing slipped out of his hands yet. You not and I not. We are engraved into his hands, and we remain in them until he will take us up into his glory. May the Almighty God keep his protecting hands over all of us, so that no one listens anymore to things which burden us which confuse us, which lead us astray, and all kinds of things. The Lord, may He of a truth let His face shine upon us, so that we can walk our way with Him. Yes, one thing comes to my mind. This brother said the Lord came 63, and this sermon, which will be published in December, we just now translated it from the year 65, and I hope that we can print it bold. Dear Brother Brim says, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Oh, how wonderful to know that in all of the message, there's not one mistake. Everything is perfect Word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus said then and today, ye are my friends, because I have made known unto you all things. Can you rejoice about it? For me, this is something precious. Not only a bit, but all things. The whole counsel of our God, we have heard. Let us believe and let us trust the Lord, thanking Him that He will bring it to pass with all of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing the chorus, Just As I Am. We want to keep our heads bowed, persevering in silent prayer before God. Maybe someone is here still who has not yet consciously laid his life into the hands of God. Precious heart, today it can take place. This day can become the most meaningful in your life. If you receive the Lord Jesus with all your heart, not just with your reasoning and with your calculation, but with all your heart, embracing Him in the Spirit, saying, Faithful Lord, You are my Redeemer, my Savior. You suffered for me. You took the reproach upon yourself. You shed your blood. You redeemed me. I want to come to you. Receive me. As we persevere in prayer like this, I would like to ask, if somebody is here who needs prayer, then please raise now your hand. Thank you. The Lord bless you all. I think a second time we don't need to call here. You have heard the call of God and you have come. You were obedient. Let us pray straight away. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and the hearts O God in heaven, who are we? Dust and ashes. What is the man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him, or that you have mercy on him? Faithful Lord, as we are, we come before your throne of grace. Yes, we thank you that it is still the time of grace, that people can still be saved. O Lord, beloved Savior, save all who now dedicate their life to you. Save their soul. Forgive their sins. Deliver them in their spirit. Crown them with mercy and loving kindness. O Savior, I want to see all of them again who have heard the word on that day in your glory. O God, let your word not return void. May it accomplish for what you have sent it for. I thank you for it, and especially for the wonderful message of your word, for the sending of your servant and prophet, who had to take so much affliction on himself, so much reproach and despisement he had to endure, but he carried a precious message, the message of God for the people of God. Lord, receive us. O God, may the Spirit of truth penetrate us so deeply, taking hold of us, that all the other spirits would be afraid of us, because they see your Spirit and your holy anointing which rests upon us, and they must respect it, because your word is in us. And as the anointing teaches us, so it is right before God. Thank you, praise, glory, and worship, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.